And don't forget, perhaps most importantly, don't forget the power of testimony. When you invest your time into asking questions and listening, genuinely listening to the answers, eventually your friend will probably start asking you the same kinds of questions. And when that happens, you will be ready with the power of testimony, the power of your transformed life. You will be ready to tell the story of your own exodus from Egypt and how God has interfaced your life, how you have experienced God in your life. The exodus from Egypt was God's great opportunity to declare his name. In the Semitic sense, to declare one's name is to broadcast a person's fame and reputation. In other words, to let people know who he is. Declaring God's name has nothing to do with pronouncing or not pronouncing the name of God, as the sacred name movement would have us believe. It has everything to do with revealing God to the world. To declare God's name is to reveal God's character. God used the redemption of Israel to establish his reputation in all the earth. And he will use your redemption, your own story of redemption, to establish his reputation with your friends and relations. The plagues, the signs, the wonders, and the great display of power in Egypt, even the entire contest with the gods of Egypt and with Pharaoh, and the redemption of Israel, the Torah tells us, was only to show his power and in order to proclaim his name through all the earth. For the Lord, the exodus from Egypt is a demonstration of his sovereignty. Through the events of the Exodus story, God is establishing his name in the earth, making his entrance onto the stage of world history. In redeeming Israel, God is sending a clear message to the whole world. He says, I exist. I am God. There is none like me. He's sending a message to the false gods of the world. He's demonstrating that he alone is God and there is none other. Israel is his trophy, the trophy of his victory. In the same way, you are a trophy of God's victory. Your testimony is the story of God at work in the world. We see the power of this gospel at work in the Torah, in the story of the conversion of Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, who, prior to hearing about the Exodus, was a pagan priest, the priest of Midian, but after hearing the testimony of the one God, the God of Israel, who intervenes, who redeems, who saves, he has a complete change of paradigm. He goes from playing checkers to playing chess with Moses. We read in the Torah, in Exodus 18, verse 5, Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with his sons and his wife to Moses in the wilderness, where he was encamped at the mountain of God. And Moses went out to meet his father-in-law and bowed down and kissed him. And they asked each other of their welfare and went into the tent. Then Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done to Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake, all the hardship that had come upon them in the way and how the Lord had delivered them. And Jethro rejoiced for all the good that the Lord had done to Israel in that he had delivered them out of the hand of the Egyptians. What do we learn here? We learn the power of testimony. This is the power of testimony, telling how God changed your life. And this is something conveyed only through relationship. Now you might say, but I don't have one of those powerful testimonies. It might be that if you grew up in a Christian home or you grew up in the church, you don't have a dramatic conversion testimony, right? Wrong. You can say, I grew up in a religious home. I always had a sense of God. I am so blessed to be raised by godly parents. But I didn't take God for granted. Here's how he pursued me. Here's when I got serious about God. This is what happened. We all have stories about what God has done for us, how he has interacted in our lives, and how he has come to know us, and we have come to know him relationally. The power of testimony. That's all that the 12 apostles were banking on. They had this testimony that they had seen him, touched him, heard him, seen the empty tomb, and touched the risen Savior. In 1 John, the old apostle John, at the end of the first century, to refute the rising heresy of Gnosticism, that is, accurate knowledgeism, said, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life." You see, testimony is powerful. It's anecdotal, but it is all that we have, because for this endeavor, I mean, for conveying relationship, you can't argue someone in with persuasive words, with tricky formulas, with apologetics. All you can do is say, "Look, this is how I know God. This is how I have experienced him. This is what he has done for me." So we read in the Torah, in Exodus 18, verse 10, Jethro said, "Blessed be the Lord who has delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of Pharaoh, and has delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all gods, because in this affair they dealt arrogantly with the people." And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, brought a burnt offering and sacrifices to God. And Aaron came with all the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law before God. What does it mean to know God? Knowing God is not a one-time thing. It's not something you check off like, "Well, there, that's done. Now I know God." It's a lifelong process. And in that endeavor, we have two spheres of interaction with God. We know him through his word, his Torah, his written revelation, through the Bible. And we know him through his spirit, our personal interaction with the anointing spirit of Messiah upon us. These are two very different aspects to knowing God, to relationship with God, but they are complementary, not contradictory. If they seem to contradict, then it's us that is at fault. And this is the purpose of Messiah. He is like Moses, who led the children of Israel out of Egypt through the blood of the Lamb and the great redemption, that they and the whole world, Jethro and the whole world, might know God. So too, this Messiah brings us to a knowledge of God by putting flesh on the unknowable and removing, through his atoning work, all obstacles to our relationship with God. He brings us into the kingdom in advance of bringing the kingdom. He raises us up to be citizens of kingdom come. Listen to the words of the apostles. 1 John 5:20 says, "We know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding, so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Yeshua the Messiah. He is the true God and eternal life." Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 16 says, "I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him." In 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 2, "May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Yeshua our Lord. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence." And again, in chapter 3, verse 18, "Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Yeshua the Messiah. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen."